Welcome to this sample audio clip, which comes from the series entitled Multi-Hull Conversations with Jim Brown. In this excerpt, Jim interviews longtime prowess sailor and cruiser Lou McGregor. Here Lou talks about how he got attracted to proas as a type of sailing vessel in the first place, and in the complete audio, Jim and Lou share details about these boats that aren't readily available elsewhere. Both Lou and Jim share from their proa sailing experiences, and Lou recalls some of his favorite memories of the boat, which he'd named Simba, as he traveled with his family to places such as the Intercoastal Waterway and Caribbean islands.
Time we're speaking with Lou McGregor, who is the former longtime owner of the flying proa Simba. Hello there, Lou.
Hi there, Jim. How are you tonight?
Okay, we should explain to our subscribers that you and I are longtime friends. We met when I guess you and our two sons were contemporaries back in the early 1970s. Maybe before that, huh?
Yeah, mid-60s, I think.
My gosh, yeah, in San Diego, California.
We might have come to the Redwood Canyon where you guys built Scrimshaw.
Oh, yeah.
I don't actually remember that, but, you know, I hear stories.
Yeah. I remember a photograph of you and Steve and Russ at the San Diego Zoo.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
All of us exhausted from the heat.
Uh-huh.
And it was on that trip, you and your family started your family cruise there at about the same time that we left California, and we knocked along together down the western seaboard, and I guess it was at that time that Russell was just beginning his first experiments with proas. But where was it that you came into the fold, Lou? How did that happen?
Let's see. The first time I saw Russell's first boat was in St. Croix, was when I was first on Jezero. In St. Croix in probably 1976, thereabouts. Yep, and was certainly intrigued.
Uh-huh.
I was running a charter boat there and had really gotten into that world. And so Russell's boat it felt like another world.
Yeah, that's the thing. These darn proas, once you come to understand them, they really grab you right at the pit of the pituitary.
It seems
to become fascinated with the concept.
And that
we were
so skinny and so small.
Yeah. We were speaking the other day with John Harris, who has a proa now that he calls Madness. It's very much the same size as the original Jezero.
Mm-hmm.
It's very yachty by comparison, but very much the same size, probably about the same slenderness ratio, extremely narrow, but beautifully built. Jezero was thrown together by a kid for a rock-bottom dollar.
Yeah, maximum results per dollar.
Yeah, let's see. If you encountered him there in 76, I think it must have been 78 when I went to the Caribbean as part of that Trade Winds race.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't seen Russell for some time, and I was aboard of I guess it was 79. I was aboard the big catamaran. No, Peter Spronk's Checha was his 60-foot catamaran. I think I was in Checha at that time, and here we were racing, and I hear this voice, you know, "Hey, Dad!" And I looked over, and here's Russell loping along right beside us. I was in a boat that at the time had probably cost, I guess at least at that time, $200,000, $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell didn't finish that race, although he did show up at the finish. And he was awarded what they called the knots per dollar prize.
Oh, good.
And it's that aspect of pros that I'd like to explore with you. You really made a tremendous success, a long-time ownership of that boat, Simba, which was – tell us about Simba.
Well, it was about 25 years for me, counting the building process. So it was a long time. So the boat would be, I guess the way I like to think of Russell's boats are that each one has been the same in their basic approach, but it feels as though each boat is completely different in every way. So she was unique compared to his other boats. As you know, as far as I could tell, that he would has just completely thought over every detail, you know, not doing anything by rote, but continuing to come up with the same basic elements. So I felt like she was building on his two previous boats. Primarily.
Was he 37 feet, Lou?
38.
Uh-huh.
Noticeably heavier than Kari, the 37-footer that preceded it. It seemed as though he was being tentative building one of these boats for another person, really erring on the safe side. And so she came out rather strong and a little heavier, noticeably heavier. Yeah.
What other differences?
Oh gosh, you could go on forever. Different in every way. But I guess what stands out, cold molded main hull instead of hard shine plywood.
Oh, that's right. You guys cold molded that thing.
Yeah, and he took advantage of the end-to-end symmetrical possibility by building a half mold so that you could take two identical panels, flop them around, and you've got a hull. And then he also used the bilge of the main hull as a mold for solid fiberglass panels for the AMA, for the little hull.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That AMA was solid glass.
Yes.
I'll
yeah,
be.
Pretty low-tech, that part. He was trying to save some money and felt like that was a part of the boat where you could afford a little weight out there. So.
And did you cast those glass panels off of the completed hull or off of the mold?
Let's see. I believe they were done on the hull. I think the hull panel was on the mold.
Ah, I see. Ah, yeah.
Just using it as a mold surface on the flat.
Gosh, I don't think I ever knew that about Simba, Lou.
So
did
much
you
innovation,
have,
Jim. Good grief.
Pardon?
So much innovation.
Uh-huh. Did you have a water ballast tank in that AMA?
Yes. Yes, and of course there was talk about a pump system, but was never hooked up. The boat was a little heavier out there, and also the that hull was set farther out proportionally than Kari. I can't say for sure about Jezero, but we often, in fact, usually, did not put water in that tank, but did do it, on several occasions, and certainly effective, as you know.
And how about the pod? Did you cold mold that, or was it sheet material?
That was tortured plywood. Let's see. Yeah, tortured plywood. I believe we put additional veneers. We beefed up the lee cabin side, let's call it, of the pod.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, exterior stringers underneath and, sheet plywood.
Well, I think maybe the listener may be confused about the term pod. John Harris tried to describe it, but what it really is a large protuberance that extends outboard on the downwind side of the proa. Here we have a proa that is a single outrigger canoe, and the wind is kept always coming over the single outrigger side. And the other side, the downwind side, has this protuberance, which offers a great deal of buoyancy only when the boat is knocked down onto its lee side. And at that point, the buoyancy of the pod comes into play big time. But at other times, the pod is the space inside for the a big part of the accommodation. The double bunk is out there in the pod. But you used, as I remember, you cruised both with your wife and your daughter. Where did Lydia sleep?